Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
No, I don't have it marked on my calendar. Stop it. I happened to read it somewhere. I don't remember exactly where I saw it, but it is Tom Brady's birthday on Tuesday. So I'm considering doing an entire Twizzler Tuesday question about Tom Brady, just because some people will love it. Other people will be freaking annoyed by it. You know, I like to do one or the other on the show. I don't want you to be complacent and feel nothing when you listen to the show. If you feel rage, if you feel frustration, if you're really annoyed, I suppose that's okay. If you love Tom Brady, well, this might be the show for you. Oh, we're not going to do the entire show on Tom Brady. He's not that interesting, for heaven's sakes. But yes, almost Tom Brady's birthday. I suppose technically, if he's in Tampa, and he is in Tampa, right, because of training camp. Technically, he's already 44. 44. What? How is that even possible? August 3rd, 1977, Tom Brady's birthday. Huh. And the man is the defending Super Bowl champion quarterback. It's crazy, right? Although, I mean, if you think about it these days, with the incredible technology and, of course, the resources that professional athletes have, and with the rule changes in the NFL where quarterbacks are essentially wrapped in bubble wrap, it really is possible, as long as their arms don't fall off, for them to continue to be viable and very good at what they do. And I will say this, I've done it before. I'll say it again, with older athletes, we call them old dudes here on the show. We can't get away with that. We can't call older female athletes old, because that's not right. And I'm right in that mix, so I don't want to be called old either. But it's a term of affection, a term of endearment. Old dudes in sports, they've survived. They have survived, and they have continued to advance. And the fact that they're able to play into their late 30s, early 40s, it's a testament to not only their hard work, but also the wisdom and experience that they bring with them. Because very often, older athletes, like the rest of us, older humans, we don't recover from injuries, from activities, from exercise nearly as quickly. The body just doesn't bounce back nearly as quickly. What did Simone Biles say before these Olympics? At 24 years old, she doesn't recover from events and from workouts and from falls as quickly as she used to when she was a teenager. It's just the natural progression of things. And so I am amazed at people like Tom Brady, but not just Brady. How about Allyson Felix competing in her fifth Olympics? She is in search of a 10th Olympic medal, and she made a big step on Tuesday in Tokyo, Monday for us, but Tuesday in Tokyo, as she won her heat of the 400 meters in the semis and cruised to a victory. And it was really neat to see her not only dominate her event, but also to talk about her husband and her baby girl afterwards. It's her first Olympics as a mom. And so really neat that she can share that with her family now too. So we're going to get to the latest in the Olympics, but essentially Allyson Felix is another example of an athlete that has continue to succeed, train, of course, train and prepare and stay at the top of her sport despite the fact that there are challenges that come with age. So good stuff. Actually, as I was watching the women's gymnastics floor exercise, yay Jade Carey, there's a 30-year-old gymnast out there. Amazing. 30 years old on the floor exercise competing, and she won, I think she won the bronze medal. It's not as easy as it sounds to stay at the top of your game, whatever your game is. Whether it's one that's more physical and requires more of you in terms of your fitness, like a soccer, a football, any type of an endurance sport, running, of course, track and field, swimming. It still blows me away what Michael Phelps accomplished in the number of Olympics that he competed in. How about Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi competing in their fifth Olympics as well, looking for their fifth gold medals? And so you see it in different sports. Certainly the endurance sports are the ones that I would say challenge you more, the physical endurance sports. But even if you think about a non-contact sport, when there are so many younger athletes who are coming up and have the benefit of sometimes just natural fitness, don't even really have to work at it, can eat whatever they want. It's also a challenge in sports like golf. I mean, how about Phil Mickelson at 50 years old, becoming the oldest major winner ever? There's a reason why it never happened before. There's a reason why it may never happen again. Because there's always a younger generation that's willing to push you old dudes out. And so, almost happy birthday to Tom Brady, or happy birthday to Tom Brady in Tampa, because it's definitely Tuesday, August 3rd in Tampa. And I'm considering it. I may throw out a show question entirely based on one Tom Brady Jr. There is a senior. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're glad to have you with us. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Hey, guess what, Producer James? I don't have the read. So whenever you pass that along to me, I'll be happy to read it. But yes, just know, Rocket Mortgage Studios. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The NFL has already produced one major injury at the most impactful position on the field. Of course, that's quarterback. We now have more details about Carson Wentz and a window for how long he'll be out. This is not one of those where you can write it down, circle the date on your calendar, and know that he's going to return at this particular time. That's not going to happen. Not with a broken foot. But at least he did have his surgery. And at least, thankfully, Frank Reich is cleared and has returned and was able to give us the information that he actually has to share. So we'll get to that coming up. Also, I freaking love Nick Foles. I know many of you have mixed emotions about Nick Foles, and it's not even about his run with the Eagles to Super Bowl MVP, though that's certainly an incredible chapter of his career. This guy, no matter what he goes through in his life, while he may get down and be discouraged, he has got some indefatigable confidence and a will to win, a will to compete. Doesn't matter that he's the third string quarterback behind a guy who's never even taken a snap in the NFL, behind Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. Nope. Nick Foles is all about it. So you may be inspired just hearing him talk about his third string spot on the Bears depth chart. But I do wonder if he wants out. I've wondered that. I don't know for sure, but I do wonder if he wants out of Chicago. And then on the Olympic stage, we're keeping an eye on a bunch of different events that are either ongoing or soon to begin. So how about this one? The United States versus Spain in the quarterfinals of the men's basketball tournament. And Kevin Durant is at it again. Already the all-time United States Olympic scorer. So more points for the Olympics, or more points in the Olympics for Team USA than any other basketball player in history. He passed Carmelo Anthony in the last game. Now has 25 points. So he didn't have the long run in the playoffs that he wanted to have with the Brooklyn Nets, and he's making up for lost time. Damian Lillard is also in double figures, as are Jason Tatum and Zach LaVine. Devin Booker started this game against Spain, but has not shot well, and also has not taken that many shots. But he was in the starting lineup. Chris Middleton's played in this game. It's been good to see some of the guys that were participating at the NBA Finals level. Jrue Holiday, of course, as well. 81-69, midway through the fourth quarter for Team USA. In roughly 90 minutes or so, it's about 90 minutes, don't quote me on the time, but in about 90 minutes, I think, yes, no, I lied, in about 2 hours, trying to remember, two hours and a handful of minutes. I'm trying to think because I've seen so many times and dates that they're all getting jumbled in my head. Sometime during our show, Simone Biles will compete. It's the only event left for her. So she gave up on three, she gave up the chance to compete. She bypassed the chance to compete in three of the event finals. Floor exercise, which was won by her countryman, her teammate, Jade Carey. She also gave up the chance to compete in vault and uneven bars. But she is going to attempt to participate in the event finals for the balance beam. It's eight women who qualify. That's it. And she's one of them, along with Suni Lee, who not only has a bronze in the uneven bars, but also has that gold medal in the all-around. So that's coming up during our show. Now, it's not being carried on broadcast TV, though it is on a variety of apps or on the website, that type of thing. I won't be able to pull up an app while I'm on the air, but we will get updates on Twitter. So I'll try to give you spoiler alerts. I did that on our last show with the Jade Carey news, because it broke right before we got off the air that she had won the gold medal in floor exercise. You want to hear something funny? Even though I knew what happened, when I watched it on Monday evening on NBC, I still cried. I knew what had happened, and I still cried. I'm such an emotional sap when it comes to the Olympics and the stories. So beach volleyball is going on live. Men's basketball is going on live. I just saw USA Women's Water Polo. They won their match against Canada. And so there's a lot that's going on even now as we're on the air, and we'll keep you updated. Because especially in the team sports, they're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Plus, we'll hear from some of the American athletes in both victory and defeat. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, but I feel like we should spend some time here heading toward the bottom of the hour, looking at the first day of NBA free agency, actually the first few hours of NBA free agency, right? Holy cannoli, fast and furious. For those of you who are Toronto Raptors fans, I can imagine it is hard to see Kyle Lowry go. But he is headed to South Beach. So Eastern Conference for sure. But after 9 years and a championship with the Raptors, some would even say he's the greatest player in franchise history. I guess Kawhi Leonard would be in that conversation, but since Kawhi was only there for a year, what does that matter, right? I mean, yes, the championship is partly because of him. But certainly, Kyle Lowry has been a cornerstone. He's been a constant. He's been a staple. But he shared his intent to sign with the Heat on social media. And the way they've worked it out, it looks like a 3-year deal worth about $90 million. The Raptors are getting a couple of players, including Goran Dragic. So we had talked about this possibility on our last show. The Heat are also spending a bunch of money to bring back a restricted free agent in Duncan Robinson. And they're very close to giving Jimmy Butler a max deal. It's another example. Now, I don't joke about this. I'm actually dead serious. But we talk about guys who team up because they like each other. So I say to you all the time, the NBA, where everyone plays with his BFF. But you may not know this because it hasn't been talked about nearly as much. LeBron, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, they had it all worked out ahead of time, similar to what LeBron did in going to Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. We know that Kyrie, KD, and ultimately James Harden, they all wanted to play together. Well, as it turns out, Kyle Lowry is really close friends with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. So look, everyone gets to play with his BFF. It's just a phenomenon in the NBA that I struggle with. It's well within the rules, but it annoys me sometimes. I can't help it. We don't all need to play and work with our BFFs. However, that's what's happening. It's the next iteration of the Big Three in Miami. And so we'll give you what we know about NBA free agency, but that's the big one. Certainly keeping Duncan Robinson is important too because of his shooting abilities. And if the Bucks are going to be challenged in the East by the likes of the Miami Heat, some of these other teams that are looking at the Bucks now as the gold standard, the Nets obviously need to be healthy more than anything. They're keeping Blake Griffin for another year. But the Bucks are the team that everybody wants. And to that end, they will not have PJ Tucker, who is a big part of their defense this season, after his drunken dog speech at the parade. He is on the move as well. So there's a lot to sort through, and we'll get to this. Right, so we'll give you the lowdown as Miami retools, as the Lakers had to figure out how to put together a roster around their big three. And as we see the agreement come to fruition between Chris Paul and the Suns. So we'll get to all of that. And even overnight, we could see more news pop up because it is a very active NBA free agent market. Weirdly, it's happening in August, but that's the thing about 2021 is nothing is quite where it's supposed to be. All right. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our second show of the week. At this point, I have no idea if the week's going fast or slow. I guess I'll get back to you on that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Now Paul puts it on the floor, brings it up into the front court. Over on the far side, breaks by Mann, takes it inside, puts up a little 10-footer, good. He now has 34 points, 8 assists for CP3. I would say he's back on top of his game.
It'll take a while to process this or whatnot, but it's the same mentality. Get back to work. You know what I mean? I ain't retiring, if that's what you're asking. That's out. So, you know, back to work.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Chris Paul let us know immediately after the NBA Finals loss that he's not retiring, so that ain't happening. Though he did make a bit of a surprising move when he declined the $44 million player option that he still had remaining on his current contract. And while the buzz, the talk, was always that he wanted to remain with Monty Williams and Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns, that's $44 million to leave on the table. So he opted out of that $44 million for the 21-22 season, but the report is that he's agreed to stay on with Phoenix with a new four-year deal that could be worth as much as $120 million. Those numbers are coming from his agents. So the idea being you give up some money in the immediate but you have the four-year deal. And for Chris Paul, who still looked real good this season, even though he's the ripe old age of 36, now 36 years old, so he just turned 36 in May, he averaged better than 16 points, 4.5 rebounds, nearly 9 assists per game, but it was his impact on the young Suns in the locker room, and they went to the NBA Finals for the first time since the early 90s. So clearly a match that works for him, and the Suns wanted to bring him back, but they also could use some of the flexibility and what he gives up next season with the $44 million he will make over the course of the next 4 years. And so there's a little extra job security there, not to mention once he signs that deal, that money is guaranteed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's always our toll-free line. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, too. We're going to put up a Tom Brady question. Producer James and I were just discussing it during the break, so I think we've come up with the right wording for the question. By the way, and I swear I was not Googling this. I wouldn't have even known to Google this. There is an entire website series. So you, it's one of those deals where you page through it. So it's a website or it's a page on the internet, except that it's a series of photos and it deals with sports stars and their significant others. Who's richer? Now, as I was looking at different, you know how when you Google something, very often you come across a name and they'll give you the popular questions that people ask about that particular person. So one of the popular questions when you have Tom Brady's name up on Google is, how much is Tom Brady worth? And then right under that, who's worth more, Tom Brady or Gisele Bundchen? So then, don't ask me why I clicked on it, but I did because it was clickbait. And you end up on this website with this series of photos, this photo array that takes you through a bunch of athletes and their significant others and who's richer. I have no idea why I just spent 3 minutes looking at it, but among the athletes that are featured, yes, Tom Brady and Gisele Bundchen. Also, Serena Williams and her husband, who I believe is the founder of Reddit, Alexi Ohanian, I think is, they got married in 17 and they obviously have a daughter. And I'm pretty sure he's the founder of Reddit or he's part of Reddit in some way. But in case you're wondering, she's worth a lot more money. Let's see who else was in there. Oh, Justin Verlander, Kate Upton in there. Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union also in there. See, I was paying attention, but I wasn't paying close enough attention that I can remember every single name. Oh, I know. Enrique Iglesias and Anna Kournikova. Eric Decker and his wife, who's a country music singer, Jesse James Decker. And then this is kind of funny. The website needs to be updated because it's J-Lo and A-Rod, which obviously is no longer a thing. Oh, David and Victoria Beckham, which, by the way, they keep their earnings combined. And so their net worth is completely together. They can never get divorced because they would both take a financial hit. Not that they're going to, just that they're a couple that has certainly survived a lot of celebrity. Anyway, I didn't even know that was out there, but it is. So you can search for yourself and see who's richer, who's worth more, the athletes or their famous significant others. The things that we do with our time on the internet, it's just astounding. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, so Chris Paul gets a four-year deal, roughly $30 million a year if he meets all of the incentives. That's big news. For the Los Angeles Lakers, they're starting to bring guys in on veteran minimums, but guys that they can put around their big three because they had very few players under contract, right? I mean, they were putting the group together, the core group together, but believing that they could find other pieces who are willing to play for less money just because, hey, you can be part of what we're doing here in Los Angeles. So Kent Bazemore is one of them. Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, Wayne Ellington, role players. It's kind of funny that Dwight Howard is going back to Los Angeles, but role players, right? So it's going to be up to the big three to really carry that team. Because the rest of the Lakers I don't want to say nondescript, but they're not big stars. You can only have so many stars. You can only pay so many stars. So that's looking at the Western Conference. Now back to the Eastern Conference, the Chicago Bulls, we had talked about this on our last show. They do get a point guard in Lonzo Ball, and the New Orleans Pelicans had the right to match, but it's a sign and trade. So it turns out it's not really the restricted free agent route. But 4-year, $85 million deal that will land Lonzo Ball with the Chicago Bulls. I wonder how many of you actually thought Lonzo would get this kind of coin when he first got into the NBA with the Lakers. And then Alex Caruso is also ending up with the Los Angeles, he goes from the Los Angeles Lakers to the Chicago Bulls. And that's kind of interesting to think about. Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso, Lonzo Ball. How about Nico Vucevic? Vucevic. I don't know. It's going to be a young team that's built around Zach LaVine for sure. I mean, that's their star, but to be able to get Alonzo Ball, who's a good passer, who's a great facilitator, that certainly helps as well. But the big moves are being made in the East. So not only do we have Kyle Lowry going to Miami, I should say they're being made on South Beach, but you also end up seeing PJ Tucker leave the champion Bucks and end up with Miami. They're about to give Jimmy Butler a fat contract extension, the fattest that they possibly can. And so a lot of people talking about the buzz around the Miami Heat. Here's Chris Haynes from NBA TV holding them up against the Bucks gold standard.
They're trying to overtake the Bucks. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Pat Riley, you know, we all know his aim is to win. Not just win consistent basketball. His aim is to win the ultimate goal. And so bringing Kyle Lowry into the fold, pairing him with Jimmy Butler and Bam, Duncan Robinson, they have a legitimate squad right there that's going to be a contending team. And I know some people will say, well, hey, you know, look, Kyle Lowry is up there in age. You know, 3 years, he's getting 3 years around $90 million. All 3 years are going to be guaranteed, by the way. So people may say, is that a risk? Look, man, they're going for it. I think if you look at the way players right now are taking care of their bodies a little bit better as far as nutrition and just work ethic, you know, guys are playing at a high level a little bit longer. And Kyle Lowry, we've seen the transformation in his body, you know, his Houston days over to Toronto. So we know he takes this seriously. So right now, Miami Heat, they are a legitimate title contending team. They will be taken seriously. That personnel they have, and the basketball minds that they have within their organization, man, it's going to be tough.
Chris Haynes on NBA TV. He also works for Yahoo, looking at the Miami Heat, and I like it. I like the fact that the Bucks are forcing teams to raise their expectations, raise their competition level as well. And the Miami Heat in the bubble got to the Eastern Conference Finals, won that, and went on to the NBA Finals. But that was a different animal. The bubble was a different animal. It was more about chemistry. It was more about teamwork. It was more about surviving in that bubble, as we saw. So they're retooling Pat Riley, and people forget about Eric Spoelstra and everything he's accomplished as a head coach. It's just another example of guys almost forming their own teams around the NBA, at least the cores. But the Heat definitely making headlines in the first day of free agency. All right, we've got an update on USA men's basketball. I am not going to steal Bob Uecker's thunder. We have got the correct time now for Simone Biles. I knew it was sometime during our show. It's about 2 hours from now that she'll be out there getting ready to compete in the balance beam as the event final along with Suni Lee. Straight ahead, we're going to hear from some of the Olympians on both the victorious and disappointing side, because that's part of the Olympics, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. And also Frank Reich explains exactly what's happening with his quarterback, who's now on the shelf.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
Some sometimes I'm not even sure what to ask you because there's so much happening that it feels like one question is almost unfair to limit the conversation on our show. And we're still going through a lot of what transpired over the last 24 hours in sports, or the 20 hours since we were last together. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. And yes, our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Or you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's our show Twitter. And our Facebook page named after the show. Super easy. A lot of money being thrown around, or committed, I should say, in the NBA. And in case you don't know this, you should know, because it's a major difference from the NFL. Even though we see new records being set all the time, this is the highest contract ever for an NFL player, highest contract ever for an NFL defensive player. And some of that is about the guaranteed money. But in many cases, the reason that athletes want new contracts after a certain period, even if they still have, say, 2-3 years left on their deal, is because they're out of guaranteed money, right? So in the NFL, it's a little bit different. The only thing that's guaranteed is what you get written into your contract, specifically guaranteed. In the case of the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, barring violation of your contract or some other type of language that's written in, you, in fact, are guaranteed all that money. Even if you retire, in some cases, you still get paid that money. And so we're talking about the type of monopoly money that I can't even wrap my brain around. I gave you the Chris Paul, which is about $30 million per year if he meets all the different incentives for that next four seasons. And so he gives up $44 million next year, but he's going to make that and then some because he's now got job security for the next 4 years. And even if he doesn't, he's still making the money. We know that there are going to be these massive max deals for guys like, say, Jimmy Butler. And here's another one, Steph Curry. 4 years, $215 million. Now, compare that with Chris Paul. Chris Paul, who's likely a Hall of Famer. He just went to the NBA Finals for the first time, so therein is your major difference. And they're different type of point guards. But Chris Paul, you can gawk at the $30 million a year until you hold it up to a guy like Steph Curry, who is worth all of that and then some to the Warriors. Think about how much money he's made the Golden State Warriors. The headlines, the national TV appearances, the highlights, the fans who buy tickets. He's one big reason why they were able to fund a brand new arena in San Francisco. And then on top of that, the amount of money they've made because they went to five straight NBA finals and won three rings. So believe you me, Steph Curry has made the Warriors this much money and then some. Joe Lacob, is that the owner of the Warriors? Sometimes I don't always get my owners right. But $215 million over 4 years. Are you ready for this number? OMG. $53.75 million per year. That is insane. It's insane. I just said to you, I can't wrap my brain around this kind of money. But this is, I don't even know how to, even speaking it, it sounds ridiculous coming out of my mouth. 4 years, $215 million. But the idea that you're paying one athlete close to $54 million. Now, this extension wouldn't kick in until 2022-23 because he still has one more year under his current deal. But the Warriors are taking no chances for obvious reasons. And they want to keep him in the Bay Area for his entire career. Little fresher now. We saw the benefits of a shorter 2020 season. And then remember, he missed a good portion of 19-20 because he had a broken hand. So after playing almost the max number of games for 5 years in a row last season, and then even this current season, because they did not make the playoffs past that play-in tournament, you could see the pop. You could see the energy. You could see the rejuvenation. And he was an MVP candidate again. One of the best seasons of his career, 32 points per game, a career high. And he also won the NBA scoring title again. This is a guy who shot 42% from downtown. So for Steph Curry, the numbers are obnoxious, but I promise you he's worth all that and then some to the Golden State Warriors. But you could gawk a little bit at what Chris Paul's making or whatever Jimmy Butler might make. 4 years, $215 million. So don't say to me ever that athletes aren't worth this or actors aren't worth that. I mean, in Steph Curry's case, he is worth every penny because of what he's made for the Warriors. 855-212-4227. Hasn't signed the deal yet, but that's the report out there. Even as I talk to you about Steph Curry, I'm re-watching Jade Carey, who just wrapped her floor exercise on the NBC broadcast. So this was almost 24 hours ago now, and I had to give you a spoiler alert on the last show. But even though I knew what happened, I watched it on Monday evening with the same interest and the same excitement and the same emotion. If you're not familiar with how her Olympics has unfolded, she stepped into the all-around in place of Simone Biles, and she was first place after the vault. She's an expert vaulter. That's one of her great events. And so she's in first place after the vault. She's in third place, if I remember correctly, after the uneven bars. But in another one of her specialties, the balance beam, she fell. She got off center. She was doing a tumbling pass, and she faded to the left, and she fell off. And she was devastated, as you can imagine. And so she does not medal in the all-around. Her dad, who is her coach, is there in Tokyo. And I just remember the cameras being focused on her. It seemed like they waited for an eternity for her score to come up. And because they were waiting and the next competitor couldn't go on the balance beam, the cameras just focused on her for a good 2-3 minutes. And she did well to mask her emotions. She tried to turn away from the camera, but there's no way to completely hide what she was feeling. That was in the all-around competition. Then, when she did not medal in that competition, she was still a finalist in the vault. Now, the event finals only feature 8 young women, and actually 8 men. So it's the same in both men's and women's gymnastics. You have to be among the top 8 scores in each apparatus to go on to the event finals and compete for a medal. Again, vault, her best event. And she stumbles in her approach to her vault. She has to change her vault literally midair because she was wrong-footed. As she got to the springboard, she was off. She was on the wrong foot. She couldn't do the vault that she wanted to because she would have fallen and potentially broken something. And so instead, she changes the vault mid-stride and does something really easy, so no degree of difficulty, and doesn't fall on the landing but takes this massive step. And even on Monday night, before she did her floor exercise, they showed her after the vault over the weekend in tears. That was what she thought, her best chance to medal. That's her event. But also, forget the medal part. The fact that she was so disappointed in herself, this was her opportunity. How many times has she done that vault and she stumbles and nearly trips? I mean, it's not unheard of, but it's rare. And so here she is feeling like she just lost the opportunity of a lifetime. But she goes into the floor exercise. And because her degree of difficulty was greater than any other competitor, and because she crushed it, she had to wait. She was only the second gymnast to go. So she had to wait through six others. But as the scores come up, she remains on top of the leaderboard. Ultimately, after the last competitor had gone, the scores come up and she realizes that she is the floor exercise gold medalist. And this time it's tears of joy. And I love her story because she didn't give up, because she pushed through major disappointment and adversity. And even before she was a champion, she showed the heart and the mettle of a champion. Not the lack of emotion. We got to see her tears. We got to see her agony, her dejection, her feelings that she had failed. But to take advantage of this opportunity and to win a gold medal, the joy on her face, absolutely amazing. So even now they're replaying it on NBC. And I told my mom to watch without spoiling it for her, so she didn't know. I knew what was going to happen on Monday evening. She didn't know. And her reaction was priceless. Like I told you, I already knew the results, and I still cried over it. I'm such a sap. All right. Tom Brady's birthday Tuesday. We've got a fun question we're going to hand out and see what kind of responses we get. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.